come and gone, pretty much anyway. For all intents and purposes, come and gone. And here we are celebrating a warm fellowship Christmas. At least we did. I hope all of you did, in spite of the weather outside. This is our sharing Sunday. And I hope some of you came prepared, maybe all of you, to share some news, some highlights, some of God's work in your home, in your hearts, in your surroundings. As I was preparing for this morning, I was kind of wondering, like, what are we sharing about? What is this? What's the focus? And a thought that came to my mind as I was preparing for this and pondering and praying and wondering what are we doing? What is this? A thought that came to my mind was Deuteronomy 6, verse 11. And there's probably a few more verses there, but that's where I want to read a few verses from. Actually, starting with verse 10. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. We can paraphrase this a little bit. None of us came out of Egypt, at least not that I'm aware of. And maybe we didn't build these cities around us either. We didn't move into vineyards and olive groves. But when we stop to think, we did move into something that we did not build. Our forefathers set the stage for us. We were in the Manitoba Museum just a few days ago as a family. We went and kind of meandered around a bit. And it brings to mind the early start. We saw the Saudi standing there, and we looked at the hotel rooms in some of those quarters there and the tiny, tiny little spaces that they called home. For the first time with our forefathers moved into this cold prairie. And they have built something that we have not built, that we have moved into, so to speak. And are we forgetting? Are we forgetting them, and are we forgetting that we are a blessed people? So keep that in mind this morning as we share, as we bring to memory that which we've been blessed with, because we truly are a blessed people. Let's bow forward a word of prayer. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you bestow blessings on us, blessings abundantly. We are a privileged people. We are living in places that we have not built. We are living in a blessed country that we have not established. We are living in a church that we are not worthy of. We are living in a saved state, which we did not create and cannot recreate. And it's thanks to your Son, Jesus Christ, born as a child, innocent, blameless, very much unheralded, as we heard just a few days ago, that we are in this state, that we can call you our Savior and our God. And as we fellowship and as we commemorate, as we remember the year gone by, and as we share and sing and laugh together and pray together, may you be glorified, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Oh, there we go. Good morning. There are some Christmas songs that have not been sung yet in this church. Like, ones that we've done previous years that we have not done this year yet. So we're going to do those. Some of them might be new to you or relatively new. So just sing along as you can. And please feel free to stand. The first one we'll do is the combination of Helpless and Hungry and What Child Is This? So I will be singing Helpless and Hungry, and this is my cousin Mark. He will be singing What Child Is This? Helpless and hungry, lowly afraid, wrapped in the chill of midwinter, comes now among us, born into poverty's embrace, new life for the poor. Who is this who lives with the lowly, sharing their sorrows, knowing their hunger? This is Christ revealed to the world in the eyes of a child of the poor.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, when angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, God, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Who is the stranger here in our midst, looking for shelter among us? Who is the outcast? Who do we see amidst the poor, the children of God? Who is this who lives with the lowly, sharing their sorrows, knowing their hunger? This is Christ revealed to the world in the eyes of a child of the poor.
Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, God, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring
all the thirsty, all who seek peace. Bring those with nothing to offer. Strengthen the feeble, say to the frightened heart, fear not, for he is your God. Who is this who lives with the lowly, sharing their sorrows, knowing their hunger? This is Christ revealed to the
babe, the Son of the poor.
Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to open up our German hymnals to 520. Welchen Jubel, welche Freude. And it will not be on the screen, so please use your book. Welchen Jubel, welche Freude bringt die liebe Weihnachtszeit. Fröhlich sieht man alle Leute in der ganzen Christenheit. Er sei Gott, so lasst es schallen und Fried auf Erden Menschen wohlgefallen. Euch ist ja der Heiland geboren, der Herr in der Davidstadt. Widerstaut den ganz der Kerzen, funkelt uns der Weihnachtsbaum. Und es waschen unsere Herzen all die Herrlichkeiten kaum. Er sei Gott, so lasst es schallen und Fried auf Erden Menschen wohlgefallen. Euch ist ja der Heiland geboren, der Herr in der Davidstadt. Doch nur kurz in solche Freuden, bald verlöscht der Kerzenlicht. Jesus kann allein bereiten Freuden, die vergehen nicht. Er sei Gott, so lasst es schallen und Fried auf Erden Menschen wohlgefallen. Euch ist ja der Heiland geboren, der Herr in der Davidstadt. And over to your English book. 472, Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib for his bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes. The little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me. I pray, bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there.
Thank you.
I'll ask the ushers to come forward and take this morning's offering, please.
the cold and dark December night, but a star still in the sky. When I'm angel, you heard a baby cry. It was the cry of the Son of God, a little baby boy. Born in that manger to bring the world joy. So hush up, little baby, you know not what you'll do. You'll bring the world peace and love, and teach them why you do. You have nothing to fear because you know God is with you all the way. That little important baby, born on Christmas Day. Many people soon gathered round that tiny rundown barn. They knew not of what they saw. Then came three all dressed in fancy robes, silks and furs. This was the first indication of the importance of his birth. So hush up, little baby, you don't know what you'll do. You'll bring the world peace and love, and teach them what you do. You have nothing to fear because you know God will lead the way. That little important baby, born on Christmas Day. We expected a soldier to save us from our plight, all dressed in shiny armor, ready for a fight. But instead he sent a little baby boy, all filled with love and happiness, to bring the world joy. So hush up, little baby, you know not what you'll do. You'll bring the world peace and love, and teach them what you do. You have nothing to fear because you know that God will lead the way. That little important baby, born on Christmas Day. That little important baby, born on Christmas Day.
That little important baby, born on Christmas Day. What a blessed season. We have truly been blessed this Christmas season as we spent time with family. And as you've noticed, we have a different bass player up here than we'd normally have had. That is my youngest brother, my baby brother. Him and his wife Stephanie and their four children came to join us for this nice Christmas season. Their kids had never experienced snow before, and they had all kinds of plans of building snow angels and snow forts and snowmen. We haven't done very much of that yet, as you can well imagine. But we've had a good, blessed Christmas season anyway, and I thank you all for participating in that. We've had various worship services and been a blessing. Can we rise for prayer, please? Lord Jesus, once again, we thank you for coming as a baby. It has been and continues to be a blessed season for us, your children. As we sing Away in a Manger, as we see the stars, as we worship together with the children as they presented the program, As we puzzled with the angels, what is this all about? As we wandered and wondered with the wise men and the shepherds, what can this be? And as we treasure these things like Mary, wondering, pondering them, what does this mean? We thank you. We thank you. We truly are a blessed people. We pray for those in our circles of friends that do not know you, that celebrate the season, celebrate the holiday, but not the reason. We ask for your Spirit to show them, to reveal to them, through us, if need be, what the reason for the season is. And as we celebrate joyously, may they see something that kindles a curiosity. What is it? Why is it? We thank you that we can celebrate the reason for the season. We thank you for songs that remember or that remind us. We thank you for friends that encourage us, for food that strengthens us, for fellowship that encourages us and motivates us and moves us forward, and for church that allows us to be who we are, created in your image to come and fellowship. We thank you for your word that speaks to us, that challenges us, that motivates us. We thank you for family that surrounds us. May we be a family to each other, to everybody we meet, with love and encouragement and support. May we encourage each other to live your world, in your world, for your world. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to stand. I am pulling two songs back from when I led Christmas Day last year. So if you can reach in the back of your brain and find those Christmas songs, then that would be great. If not, you can just listen to the words, read the words, because there will be parts of them that are familiar, but maybe not all of the songs.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the hand-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Love he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to give the sacrament, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name, King of of heaven come.
There be peace, let there be peace.
it start in me.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Are we truly saying that? Let it start in me and with me? We have come and gone in various ways this last year. We have seen a lot of stuff, some of us. And mic is open for you to share something that God has done in your lives that you've witnessed, that you've seen a miracle performed somewhere. Who starts?
Hey, I guess this isn't really a talk about a miracle, but we as a Ginter family want to say a big thank you. So the past 6 months in the Ginter house have been hard and very, very tough, but it has drawn us closer and has made us so much stronger. On June 26th, our lives were turned completely and 100% upside down with the news that my mom had breast cancer. I had never thought the word cancer was going to enter my family, and we have learned a lot from this journey, and we still continue to learn new things every day. A few things that we have learned are: the new favorite game we play in our family is called the waiting game, and who can put on their patient's pants the fastest and keep them on the longest. There's a lot of waiting involved with this crazy adventure, and patience is key. My mom's hair is very stubborn. She still has some hair, some eyebrows, and a few eyelashes, and the last chemo treatment is January 10th, and 6 weeks of radiation to follow. And then after that, it should slowly start to grow back. And our church family is amazing. We truly appreciate everything that you have done for us, from the super yummy food to the phone calls that make us all smile. Thank you for the gifts and for giving rides to appointments and all the other ways we have been helped. We just want to say thank you so much. You are all very important to us, and we can't thank you enough. Please continue to pray with us and celebrate with us as my mom finishes chemo next month. Once again, thank you all for all you have done in our lives at this time. We appreciate each and every one of you, so thank you so much.
Been thinking about this the last week, and I really didn't know what I wanted to share, but I knew I wanted to do something. And then I realized, well, God's word is the most important thing. And in our ladies' Sunday school class, we've been going through the Songs of Ascents, and we've learned so much. I wanted to share one of those psalms, and I pray that it would speak to you. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
It happened on December 24th. Not what you think, but something that happened to me. I woke up during the night and my legs felt different. I went to the washroom. I could walk, no problem. And then I started washing up and shaving, and I found that the razor didn't always want to go where I want. And then came breakfast. We usually have our devotion that Helen reads in a scripture text, and I read Rejoice. I couldn't read. I couldn't pronounce the words. And then I got thinking about a lot of things. First of all, I found out I was a bit stubborn. It shouldn't have surprised me. I knew that a long time already. But I waited until her daughter said, Dad, today you're going to the hospital. That was on December 27th. And it didn't take long for them to send me through a CT scan. There it does work. And the doctor came and sat down and said, I'm going to ask you a few silly questions. What is your name? Where do you live? Where are we now? I mean, come on. I answered all those questions correctly. And then as I got, he did more testing, says, you have had a stroke. And why did you wait to come to the hospital? I said, I didn't want to disturb the doctor's Christmas holidays. But then I got thinking of some scripture, and I had to turn to Psalms. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern over my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with me, with all my ways. Before the word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. And then verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Have you ever thought when you swallow? Really, have you thought about it? That's one thing I have to do now. I have to think when I want to swallow. As otherwise it doesn't go. And of course, all kinds of tests and some very interesting tests and some you feel, what in the world do you think I am anyway? But there's a reason for that. And I am so grateful for the recovery that I've experienced within 1 week. As you notice, my speaking is not quite normal, but I am gracious for the love that was shown me, for the care that was given to me, and I hope that I can live a few more years and be of some blessing to someone.
Morning. I didn't plan on sharing anything this morning, so be patient with me if I'm a little bit choppy. This last year has been a bit of a challenging one for me. I've struggled a lot with spiritual warfare over the last year. I didn't think it was going to be this hard. not the whole year, but I was in school till about June, and right after I was done school, I just was getting just hit hard by the enemy and his lies and bringing stuff up from my past and just making me feel like that's who I am. That you're defined by your mistakes, and that's not true. This isn't easy, but yeah. So he was hitting me hard with all kinds of lies about things I've done and times where I've come up short, and bringing stuff up and just hammering me with like lies about all the dumb things I've done before, and just making me just absolutely paralyzed as a believer. Because when you're down in the dumps like that, like, you don't want to do anything except just dwell in your misery. And it's such a horrible, horrible place to be. And it's through God's grace and this is godly counsel of people I trust and friends and family, just I've been able to get out. And my son's supporting me up there. It's a daily fight today, like every day. And I've just come to realize, and just through talking to people, that God hates families. Satan hates families. God loves families. God is there. He's going to protect your family. The enemy hates a godly family, and he is going to tell you all kinds of lies and try to make you feel like you're less of a person than what you are, and he's going to try to pick away at your family. But don't let him. And I know that there, I'd be willing to bet everything I have that there is somebody, at least one person sitting here today, who's feeling the exact same way that I have been. And don't listen to those lies, and don't feel like you're alone, because you're not. And just, there's always hope in God, and I've learned so much. It's been such a refining fire for me. Like, it's so bittersweet. It's horrible having to go through those valleys, but the way that I've changed is I'm so thankful for it. I'm learning about just being more patient with myself and with other people, and how badly I need God's grace and how I am so lost without it. Learned about how forgiving he is, and just learning more and more about forgiveness, and learning about how I didn't realize how prideful I was and how I thought that I could do everything by myself and I didn't need anybody. And that is also a lie from the devil, because he tries to isolate you and think that you don't need help and you can do this by yourself, but that's exactly what he wants. And you can't do it by yourself. Nobody can do it by yourself, especially me. And yeah, just learning so much and just trying to be a better husband and father. And that's tough. And like I said, every day is a battle. And I don't think that's ever going to go away. But it's getting easier to stand, because I know I'm standing on God's word. And I know that God is there with me. And he's just fighting for me. And but the biggest thing for me is just learning about how forgiven I am. And one of the biggest resources, if I can recommend something to you guys, is a guy by the name of Aaron Budgen, and he has a series on forgiveness, and that is a game changer for me, and that is a big deal. And so I just give all the grace to my glorious chain breaker, Jesus.
Thank you, Dustin. Where did you go? Sometimes we feel like we are 6 feet over from where we wanted to be. Suddenly we find ourselves where we didn't want to be. How did I get there? God has encouraged me with these words. First, it's all just in two verses. It's been so powerful to me in the last year. Simon, Simon, this is from Luke 22. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. First thing, we've been asked. Sometimes we've felt that. We felt like we've been sifted as wheat. Second part, but I have prayed for you. Jesus himself has prayed for you. Then, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And Jesus, knowing us so well, and this is in the middle of Peter saying, I'm going to die for you, I'm going to go to jail for you, I'll go to the moon and back for you. Jesus says, and when you have turned back, because we know how I'm going to go to the moon and back for you turned out for Peter for a little while. And when you have turned back, I know you'll fail, but I know you'll come back. And when you have turned back, I have a job for you. He says, to Peter, strengthen your brothers. And when you have turned back, Jesus has something for us, a purpose. And all based on, as you were saying, Dustin, forgiveness. Praise God.
Carla, you walking up with the Bible just reminded me of a story I have to share with you all. I'm a teacher in clubs and teach the 5-6 girls. And one day we were talking about the Bible lesson, and this one young girl had asked the class a question, and she raised her hand and she said, you know, I don't know a lot about God, but that's why I'm here. I'm like, oh, such honesty, right? She just touched my heart. But anyways, after the class, I encouraged all the girls to bring their Bibles to clubs, because next week we're going to spend some time in the Bible. And if that was a problem, then to come talk to me later. And she came up to me, the same girl, and says, I don't have a Bible. I'm like, okay, I can take care of that. So I came into the sanctuary, grabbed a book, went and brought it to her. And she's like, so I can borrow this? And I'm like, no. You can put your name in it. This is yours. And she just grabbed it. She's like, this is mine. I was just like, oh. So I just want to reaffirm, if that's the only reason we do clubs and we do DVBS and we do the outreaches, it's just for that one girl, it's worth it. Sorry. I didn't mean to become emotional. But there is a purpose, and for all you coordinators who get frustrated looking for teachers, and are these programs worth it, because they do take a lot of volunteers. Well, just that one girl, she was worth it. So this is my encouragement to our church family, just continue on, and there is a purpose for us.
When I was a girl, my family was kind of on the fringe of the church. We weren't deeply involved in the church, even though we did come every Sunday. But I remember them saying in church that it was important to pray for our pastors. And I remember thinking, they pray all the time. Why would you need to pray for your pastors? When Rudy and I got to seminary after we left the farm, in the last year we were at seminary, I remember the staff there warning us that when we got into ministry, we would be under attack like we'd never been before. And when we started at the Gretna Church, I was shocked at how true that was. How in so many ways attack came from so many directions. I am thankful for the people that pray for their pastors, and I'm thankful for all of you who pray for us, and I want you to know that it's important and it's necessary. We're not under any kind of special protection just because we're pastors. We're under special protection because you pray for us. And when we went to a Breakforth conference a number of years, I remember sitting in on one workshop where we were told that for Satan, Christians are the target and pastors are the bullseye. I really thank God for each one of you, and I'm so glad I'm in a congregation that prays for their pastors.
It was our 45th anniversary. It was the Alaska Highway 75 anniversary. It was Canada 150. We were in Dawson City, Yukon. One of my dad's, the last years that he was alive, he talked, you know, people talked about going all over for holidays, and he says, we'll never see, we've got so much in Canada, we'll never see all of it. So we have tried doing a little bit of it. So on a Sunday morning, and this will be kind of the other end of what Kathy was talking about. So we were in a small church on Sunday morning, and at the end of the service, the lady who was the assistant pastor says, "Is there anybody in here that has a birthday this week?" And a couple of people, I'm not sure if a couple of people said anything, and then she says, "Is anybody here have an anniversary?" Well, if you're quiet, then actually you're lying. So I raised my hand, and she called us up, and she had a prayer of blessing for us. And that's kind of similar to what you're talking about, but it's from the other end of it. It felt really, really special. And so it goes both ways.
Andrea, would you come and share with us some of your experiences and some of your, what you do and where you're at and what makes your day and what ticks you off maybe? And
good morning, everyone. I know I don't get to see all of you very often, so I'm honored that I'm allowed to just share a bit of what I've been up to in the past year. Some of it might seem like a little repetitive because I've shared some of it before, but this past year, starting in January, I was helping staff a discipleship training school, which I'd done the previous year. I had a 2-year commitment with this ministry called Fire and Fragrance. And so, again, that's just like a discipleship training school is a 6-month program. You have 3 months of a lecture phase. So we have different speakers rolling through every week coming from all over the world and talking on different characteristics of God. Like 1 week we'll be learning about the Holy Spirit. 1 week our students will be learning about family and missions. And the next week we'll be learning about the Father Heart of God. So it's just like extensive teaching. They've compared those 3 months of like the equivalent of going to church for 7 years, because you just get pounded with information every single day for 3 months straight. But it's amazing. And the transformation that takes place in our students is, it's only God, because it's like, not, there's nothing that we could do to make people transform like that. And so, yeah, I was staffing that 6 month school. And so the first, after the 3 month lecture phase, we do a 2 month outreach followed by about 2 weeks of debriefing. And so this year I got to go take a team into Uganda, and I took a team of 20 people there. I had two other co-leaders with me. And we were partnered with an organization there called Show Mercy. And they're very well established. An American couple established this ministry in Uganda several years ago. And so it was a pleasure. Like, they're so well organized and they're so well structured. And so we just came in onto their base and just partnered with them for 2 months. And we did things like street evangelism, different kids programs. We would go visit the elderly in the community. The grandmas and grandpas there are called Jajas. And so we would go spend a few, like, numerous hours every week just sitting with Jajas. And we had translators all the time, and they would share stories and we would share stories. And it was so fun. I think that while we were there, we saw over 500 people give their lives to Jesus. Like, they're very open to the gospel, and so that was incredible. And we would also spend time speaking at churches and in gatherings there. And I want to share one story with you from Uganda. And so I think it was during the week sometime, we were sharing at a youth conference, and we were teaching on identity. And this is one testimony that came out of it. So there was a man there, his name was Farouk, and he was a Muslim man. There's lots of, Islam is one of the most predominant religions in Uganda. And so Farouk was a man, I'm going to read it off my phone because I have it written here. Farouk is a man who was once a Muslim. He had been studying in different Muslim countries such as Kuwait and Saudi Arabia for over 2 years, and was apparently studying to become a sheikh. And the last time he had been in the Middle East, he had had an opportunity to go to Israel, and he had decided that he wanted to go see the tomb of Jesus, because in Islam, Jesus is still a legitimate prophet, but he's not the Messiah, he's not the Savior, he's not God, but they believe he's a prophet. And so he went to go see his tomb, and when he went to Jesus' tomb, he realized there was no body in it, and like, this tomb is empty. And so that had him thinking already, and after, I don't know how long afterward, but him and his friends went to visit the tomb of Muhammad, who's their main prophet in their religion, and it was clear that Muhammad's body was still in the tomb. And so they were sitting outside the tomb praying to Allah, and then Farouk heard a voice say, "Why are you worshiping the dead?" And he went unconscious at that point. It's a really wild story. And his friends like thought he just died on the spot, and they he didn't, because his heart was still beating, but he was completely unconscious. And so I think he remained unconscious for about 2 days. And I'm not entirely sure what his friends did with him in the meantime. I think they brought him into a mosque, like trying to like pray and figure out what's going on with him. But during that time, Farouk said that when he was unconscious for those 2 days, he had a vision, and a man in white robes with scars on his hands said to him, "I want you to give me your life." And it was Jesus. And he came to again, he regained consciousness, and he didn't immediately give his life to Jesus, but over the next few months, he continually would hear this voice say, like, "Farouk, I want you to give me your life." And so that day when we were hosting that conference, it was a youth conference, he was there, and he was actually supposed to be returning to the Middle East to continue his studies that day, but he had decided that no, he should go to this conference. Like, there's some people speaking at this conference, and I'll go check it out. And after our teaching, he had leaned over to one of my friends and said, "I think today I want to confess my salvation." And so this once very devout Muslim had an encounter with Jesus and gave his life to him, and it was just incredible, because Jesus is moving in like dramatic ways across the whole earth, and a lot of the time he's appearing in dreams and visions to Muslim people. And so that was definitely one of our highlights, to see Farouk come to know Jesus. And that's just one story amongst many. So yeah, that was Uganda. crazy. And then I transitioned to summertime. And as you know, I often come home for the summertime and I'll spend time working, kind of help rebuild up my finances and just spend time at home and in Canada. It's good for the visas and stuff. But this summer, I really felt like I wasn't supposed to come home. I felt like I was supposed to stay in Kona, which made no sense financially. And but I felt like God wanted to show me some like the next step in my life and that I should stay in Kona. And so I did. And he did reveal the next step into my journey with him. And so over the summer, I transitioned into a new ministry. It's still under YWAM, but it's called Respect the Corners. And what it is a CrossFit ministry. So I'll just give you a little definition of CrossFit so you know what it is. So CrossFit is a fitness, it's a type of fitness regime that has been developed over several decades, and it has like constantly varied functional movements performed at high intensity, and it includes the best aspects of gymnastics, weightlifting, running, rowing, and more. So you're like, okay, that's great, you're working out, so why are you working out in Kona? But no, there's a reason. And so the vision behind this ministry is to glorify Jesus in all that we do, including fitness, and to make God known. And we want to do this through things that we are passionate about. So God has like given all of you talents. He's given you passions, things that you're good at, and he's given them to you so that you can bring him glory through those things, and that he brings you joy through these things, and it also helps other people to, brings people into contact with his son through these different things. And so just a little background on how this ministry was started. My leader, like the founder of this ministry, Respect the Corners, we always abbreviate it to RTC, so if I say that, that's what I mean. So my leader and founder of RTC, his name is Blake Castile, and he's been involved with YWAM for several years, and they live long-term in Hawaii, working with YWAM. And so he was searching for a better way to connect with and disciple young men. With this in mind, he started doing workouts in his garage with these guys, and after workouts, they would spend time talking about life, reading scripture together, and praying. And they began to see the impact this was having, and they began seeking the Lord on how this could be about more than just discipleship and working out. In April of 2014, Blake and some friends went into a closed nation in the Himalayas. It was kind of a scouting trip. And they did a brief, they set up a few CrossFit classes and did a brief workout with some of the local guys and began to coach them through some basic movements in CrossFit. And they could not believe that the influence they gained so quickly in the lives of those young men. And as they headed back home, they began to dream about running schools that would train and send coaches to go into closed nations to minister the gospel. And so some things that RTC has been doing is we have trained in, like our goal is to train and send coaches to work in CrossFit gyms all over the world. And we currently have two in the Middle East, and we're sending two more to the Middle East in January and one in Nepal. And we also have run three discipleship training schools. From these schools, 15 students have returned to become long-term missional coaches. Some of them are still in training. And as a ministry, we have taken over 400 Bibles to unreached villages in the Himalayas, trying to use our fitness functionally, like hiking through mountains. One of my favorite parts, though, about what we get to do is the impact we get to have on the local community in Kona. And so we've began to develop relationships with people who are part of CrossFit gyms across the island. And just through doing competitions together and doing workouts together, we have seen and been able to build friendships. And just recently, there's this one couple, their names are Winston and Zoe, and they're both from the island, and they are never been believers, not interested in God. They're in relationship with each other for a long time. They're not married. They have a bunch of kids, some from previous marriages, like past broken relationships, no interest in God. And then they met some of my friends in RTC, and they've just been spending time with them. And actually, it was just 3 weeks ago, they said that they're like, we need to have what you have. We want Jesus. We want to give our lives to Jesus. We want to get married. We want discipleship. We need your help. And so like that's the reason we do what we do. It's not just to work out or do any type of ministry. It's because we want people to know Jesus, to gain freedom and have healing, and for Jesus to have his inheritance in all of us, you know? And so that's super exciting. And so I fully committed to joining this ministry, and I spent the summer praying about it and having trusted mentors walk with me, and I feel confident in my decision to be a part of this. And so just practically, some of the things that I'll be doing in the next few months is pursuing certification as a coach so I can better train athletes, and also I'll be receiving teaching and coaching from my leaders as well. And to be honest, I'm not entirely sure where God wants to take me with this, but I fully believe in how he is using CrossFit to gain influence into the lives of the lost, and I will continually seek him and how he wants to use me to do this through RTC. And I just wanted to say thank you again for all your support, for all your prayers, for all the financial ways you guys have helped me. It's always, every time I come home, I'm greeted with such warmth and welcome, and I really appreciate it. It's so easy to come back. And so I just want to say thank you. And also, I do send updates. And so if any of you would like to receive an update from what I'm up to and what God's doing, you can come see me after. I'll take your email address down. But yeah, you can just come talk to me after. But yeah, that's all I have for now.
I just want to, in a moment, invite any of you up who would like to come up here and just pray for Andrea. I think this is going to be the last Sunday here before you go back. That's right. Yeah, she's leaving Friday. So I would just love to bless her, and I think we would all love to bless her and just pray for her as she goes. And we love what you're doing out there, and we're praying for you while you're gone. And yeah, it's so good to hear some of the stories that you, yeah, of what's been happening and how the Lord's been moving so dramatically in a lot of ways. So, if some of you would like to come up, we will just lay our hands on Andrea, and I'll give us the opportunity to pray for her. So come on up. Father, we thank you so much for how you've been using Andrea. We thank you so much for her, and that you have called her and put on her heart the people of your world to reach out to them and to give them the best gift that we could possibly give them, and that is nearness with you and your salvation. And Lord, I ask, as Andrea goes back to Kona and to what you have for her there, Lord, I ask that you would just grant to her your joy and your peace in believing in you and trusting in you. And even though, as she's shared, you've given her understanding of what's in her near future, and as she shared, she's not sure where that'll all take her. Lord, that just the joy and the peace that you can bring would fill her with hope that you are going to come through, because you are faithful and that you will use her, and that you do have your hand on her. And Lord, I just ask that you would move her in powerful ways to touch people in powerful ways, and that your grace would be made known because of your life inside of her.
Lord, we thank you for Andrea, for the gift she is to us, and how she is giving you to the people around her. Thank you for this opportunity we have to be part of these exciting things by supporting her. I pray that you would continue to work in powerful ways through her and around her. Thank you, Lord, that, yeah, like Seth said, that we can spread you to the people around us.
Father, I thank you for the doors that you are opening for the gospel, and for the ways that you are moving in Andrea's life and in the ministries and the organizations that she's working with and a part of. And I pray that your will would be done in each of these things, and that you'd give her joy in serving you, and that you'd continue to lead and guide her and give her peace in the everyday and in the things that she is doing.
Lord God, I thank you too for the ways in which you show us opportunities to serve. Sometimes they surprise us. I'm sure the shepherds were surprised at the sight of a little baby in a manger. And those surprises continue to us today. And as we see new adventures in your name, may we be open to accepting them as Andrea has. Maybe we do have questions, but you are the God of answers. You are the God of faithfulness. We can trust you, and may we all trust you. Thank you that Andrea has placed her trust into you, and may you keep her and sustain her and hold her and encourage us as a church to support her and to help her and to stand by her, knowing that she is furthering your kingdom. That's what all of our goals are. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, thank you for Andrea's obedience to your spirit and her faithfulness. And Father, I just pray that you would increase her faith and give her and her team and the people that she's working with increased favor on the island among the other CrossFit gyms. And Father, I just pray that your blessing would be on that ministry and that you would show them the places that you want them to go, the places that you want to send missionaries with fitness and also training in godliness and in the gospel. And Father, just pray and thank you for this opportunity and this blessing, and just bless Andrea in that.
Father, thank you that you are not limited to human words to reveal yourself to people. And we thank you for the work that you are doing among Muslim people all over the world. We pray for boldness for Andrea and for her team as they continue what you've called them to do.
Yeah, Father, we thank you for what you are going to be doing in and through Andrea in the next while. And Lord, we just ask for a special blessing on her as she goes, and especially in the next few weeks, Lord. We know that you are our comforter, Holy Spirit, and I pray that you would just remind Andrea of that in a special way as she goes, that you are with her and that you would comfort her in showing her another aspect of the beauty of who you are. Lord, would you just provide for her in her needs, in what she's needing while she's there, in all the ways, financially, that you would provide for her in abundance as she's relying on you for that, and that you would provide for her in all her relationship aspects and in everything. Lord, we bless her, and Lord, would you bless her powerfully as she goes back and make her a blessing. Amen. Thank you, Andrea. Thanks for sharing.
Please stand. We're going to sing Joy to the World.
Let us
Those words that we just sang there in verse 4, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove, that starts with individuals. As you just shared, Andrea, that individual named Farouk, we have no idea where that story is going to go, right? And yet it has such potential. And yet he is no more or less, no less human than you and I are. We have the capabilities of carrying that truth just as far as he does and are challenged to carry it. We have heard wonderful stories this morning of God sticking with us even through the tough times, as Dustin shared. We have heard stories of a week that has been quite intense for my father-in-law, and yet so thankful for the recovery. We've heard fitness stories of how that is a vehicle that God carries us into the world to change this world for him. And prayer and blessing. And may we be part of that as we go forth. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you call us as individuals, as a nation, to carry your truth and your grace, as we just sung. And we are thankful that we can be part of that, that we are a part of that. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that even when we do stumble and fall, you still call us back and you have a job for us, as we heard. Thank you for guys like Peter that didn't give up. Thank you, Lord, for each one of the people here, young and old, struggling in certain conditions, rejoicing in others. May we all, even when and if we do stumble, may we all turn back to you in your grace and truth and make the nations known. Thank you for your word. Go in peace. Amen.